North Alabama or Tennessee. And welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. We are broadcasting now, and hopefully somebody will catch us on Facebook. They usually do. And are we broadcasting to our website today? No. We're having some difficulties with the software program. We've been using it regularly, and we came in yesterday. It wouldn't work. That's crazy, ain't it? XSplit. And so we upgraded. That didn't work. So I might have to buy another computer. I don't know. Could be a graphics card, but we have a problem with it. But you're on Facebook Live, and we're recording it. And it will be uploaded. So I'd like to say welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. We got some guests in here today. Tony, introduce your family here.
Well, this is my father-in-law, Louis Prince. This is my mother-in-law, Grace Prince.
Wife. Wonderful, wonderful. Welcome. Welcome. Where are y'all living at? Oh my gosh, that's a long way. Anyway, Jared, Melody, thank you for coming. Jim's good to see you back. Look at here, Candy. Let me check the time here.
I know. She beat us here.
This is wonderful. I want to talk to you real quick. Most of you know Harry Dimon. Okay, I got a call from Carl this morning. Carl and April won't be here. Carl is really, he's got some health problems today, really bad. And he told me that, see, Harry, they had moved Harry from Century up to Grove Hill, Alabama. And they had him so drugged up there. I saw videos of him last week, and he didn't know where he was at. He just looked stoned. And that's sometimes what happens when you put your loved ones into a nursing facility. So you need to be aware of that. But anyway, they moved him back to Century earlier in the week, this past week, and now he's in Baptist Hospital, and the doctor told one of his daughters that there's seven, I didn't know this, but there's seven stages to dementia, and he's in the last stage. His kidneys are failing him right now. He's in ICU. So if you want to go by there and see him, that's fine. I don't know what room, but he's in ICU at Baptist. I'm going to try to make it over there myself, either today or tomorrow. His time is running short, but Harry is, I believe, 87 years old. He's had a good life, but at the same time, we never want to lose anyone. There will be a transitioning period. I was reading this morning about transitioning from this life to the next. So be in anticipation of that. No, we don't want to be on the next busload going up, okay? But the fact of it is, you want to secure your ticket right now while you can make that decision. Because if you can't, just say, what if you had a stroke? You're in your right mind today. You're going to hear about the gospel of the grace of God, of how to be saved. There is no other way to be saved, okay, than believing that Jesus Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of all your sins, past sins, present sins, and future sins. There is no other way. That he was buried, and he was resurrected from the dead on the third day to clear you of all those sins, to justify you. Now, you've heard that. If you don't make that decision to trust Jesus Christ today, and you have a stroke tonight, and you never remember anything else, you're going to hell. That's just how simple it is. People don't like direct talk, but that's just the way it is. If you haven't trusted Christ, you need to get that job done. So, but I wanted to let you know about Harry. Harry's a saved person. He's sealed. He's secured until the day of redemption. So that's a good thing. I had an email from the Philippines late last night, and he wanted to know if we could lose our salvation. No. I shared with him Ephesians 4:30, you know, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. You can't lose it. If you even blaspheme the Lord and just denied him right now, you're already a child of God. And actually, probably the second service, I'm gonna cover something and show you where you're at in Christ if you are saved. But anyway, before we get started, would you bow your heads and let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the people that are here today, people that come to be edified and maybe someone that come to be saved today. Only you, Holy Spirit, knows the truth about this. We just want to preach to the people. Let them be earnestly seeking you constantly. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And sometimes we forget about that. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it's about. We are His servants. I know some of the translations change that to slaves. I don't like that term. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm not a slave to the Lord. But that's everybody's thing. Now, if you would, let's go to the scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And we're going to make a lot of people mad. Whether they be in here or on the internet, we're going to make a lot of people mad, especially the females. There's already dissension running around in the room, Jim. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's begin reading. This is a continuation of the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We've already been through the first 4.5 chapters of this book, and we're going to continue. We do a line-by-line Bible analysis of the Scripture as the Holy Spirit has shown it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What? It's telling a wife to submit to their husband. Now, this chapter is going to be about Jesus Christ and the church, the body of Christ. But it's about, and it's an analogy of the wife submitting to the husband as we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this thing is about. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as in the Lord. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Hold on, because we're always going to be back in Ephesians chapter 5. Colossians chapter 3. And we may use some of these verses over and over and over again today. Chapter 3, verse 18. I'm going to show you what he's talking to the Colossians about. Colossians 3, 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Now, you know, anything the Holy Spirit wrote in this Bible here, the Holy King James Bible, is important. Everything that he wrote. But when he mentions it more than one time, it's really important. And sometimes it's back to back. That's ultra important. But this is important. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, in Titus, let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Actually, I want to back it up to verse 3. This is what Paul wrote to Titus in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, he's telling Titus. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, ladies. Not given to much wine. Didn't say you couldn't drink wine, says not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, and we look around in society today, I see it all the time, where this woman has agreed to her and her boyfriend to kill their child. Happened over in Crestview. It was last week or week before, didn't it? I mean, there's people killing children all over the place. But love their husbands. Some of the wives are killing their husbands for the money, but whatever. To love their children. Verse 5 is where we had started. To be discreet. Ladies, you're supposed to be discreet. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Obedient to their own husbands. Submissive. Now look, we know that Jesus Christ would not harm His church, the body of Christ. And a husband is not to be the dictator, the all-accuser of his wife. You're just not supposed to do that. But I was asked this one time, and I've heard it other times. Well, from a woman's perspective, if my husband wanted me to go out and prostitute myself, should I do it? No. As the Lord will not give instructions to the church, the body of Christ, that are wrong, neither should a husband give the wife instructions that are wrong. But if he does, and it happens, I'm going to get something in Acts chapter 4 later on the second service that we're going to tie this in. But it's like this. Hadn't you rather do, not hadn't you, but you should, as Peter and Paul said, Peter and John said, obey God rather than men. And this applies right here. Wives know if you're giving them the wrong command morally. So you should obey. I'm going to tell the wives, obey the Lord before the husband. Before the husband. Husband's there to guide. But I wanted you to see that. Now, let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Let's jump on the husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Listen, this is an analogy. Even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Talking about Jesus Christ being the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. But I wanted you to see that. Now, verse 24. Well, hold on. I don't want to go to verse 24 yet. This is kind of distracting. Come on in, Ricky. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. I just swap places with you guys. Yes. Genesis 1:26. Let's look and see what took place in the very beginning. And God said, let us. Who is us? It's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Make man in our image. After our likeness. I'm going to stop there. After our likeness. I want you to go back to Genesis 1:27. You know, I've skipped some things here. So God created, in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Stop there. Go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust. He's talking about man being created in his own image. Formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Well, who did he put there? Adam and Eve? No. He put Adam, the man. Nothing about the woman yet, whatsoever. And in verse 15 of Genesis 2, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, and for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He didn't tell Eve that. He told the man that. But then he said in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Jump on over. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He died is what he did. When you go to sleep in the Lord, you have died. And he took one of his ribs, Adam's ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. You see what he did? He brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. back over to Genesis chapter 1. Now, he has already created Adam. Blew the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. Found out every beast out there had a partner. But he didn't. So now he says in verse 27, again, so God created man in his own image, and we've already read about that. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So he created man first, found out he was by himself, needed a helpmate, and then he took that rib out of Adam and he made or created Eve as a helpmeet. And this is why he's saying, male and female created he them. This is in chapter 1. So you've got some people to try to tell you there's two different Genesis stories. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but there's not. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Something was here. This is not the service for it. Something was here before them. No humans were. I'll just tell you they're pre-Adamite creatures, Scott. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That was all done on the sixth day, and God rested on the Sabbath. The seventh day, which was a Saturday. Now, I wanted to show you where man came from so we can continue with this about the husband. The husband came first. Now, I'm going to add something here that wasn't in my plan, but you know, a lot of people, they want, you know, it's left up to Adam. Adam named everything. Well, he lived to be what? 930 years. 930 years. So he had time. I don't think he put it off. I think I'll do it tomorrow. He started on it because it's going to take him that long. Now you know, if the Lord instructed him in Genesis 2:17. That you can eat of every tree of the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, because he told him in the day that they eat of thereof, that you will surely die. And he did spiritually, died instantly. If he hadn't have done that, he'd have lived forever. But you know, Adam, if he named everything, things that me and you can't even pronounce, he named all of those things. Don't you think he told his wife, don't to eat of the tree? In that day you're going to die? And what I was going to tell you is, I believe, it's not in the Bible, it's my personal opinion. Adam didn't have to eat of the tree. But he knew Eve was going to die because she had already partook of the forbidden fruit, that he would be by himself again. So he would rather die than be lonely again without his wife. Does that make sense? Does to me. So, I want you to go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Not Ephesians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is still talking about the lady's submission and a husband being the head of the house. Verse 3. Paul says, well, I'm going to read verse 1. Paul wrote this. This is one of his out of Ephesians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is still talking about the lady's submission and a husband being the head of the house. Verse 3. Paul says, well, I'm going to read verse 1. Paul wrote this. This is one of his for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman. You've got to understand that. He was created for God, but the woman for the man, to be a helpmeet. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. You've got to remember that. You're not by yourself here. If you're married, we'll talk about it, you're one. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. The woman is part of you. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Verse 12, For as the woman of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Now let's look at that. What does that mean? For as the man, woman is of the man. Remember, God took a rib out of Adam, made a woman. So as the woman is of the man, that's fine. That rib became a full-grown woman. Even so is the man also by the woman. The woman carried that man for 9 months. The man is of the woman in this context right here. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I was in doubt whether to use this scripture here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Chapter 1, verse 10. And the reason I want to read it is because of Ephesians 5:23. If you'll notice, at the very end, after the colon in that line, it says, "And He," that's Jesus Christ, "is the Savior of the body." Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 10 says, as Paul wrote in his pre-prison epistles, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He," God, "raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." He's the Savior. He delivered us from the wrath to come. There's not a soul in here, if you're saved, and this is true out there on internet land, if you're saved, you will not go through the wrath of God. But if not, and the rapture takes place right now, and you're unsaved in here, you're going through the trials and tribulations of Revelation. And guess what? You will take the mark of the beast. Why? Because the number one thing about a human is survival. Why would I say that? Because Jesus Christ died in AD 33 for the forgiveness of all sin. Sin is no longer a problem in this world. It's your unbelief in the finished work of the cross. That's the problem. People don't want to believe it. They want to help God. There's bound to be something I can do. I can clean up my act. I quit drinking. I quit smoking. I quit lusting. I can do all of this kind of stuff. And I'll just give all my money away. I'll help everybody. You know what? If you don't trust Christ, you're still going to hell. It's just that simple. My goodness, guys. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Not some things. Everything. What? I'm not a wife, and I'm thinking, oh man, what are these wives thinking? "I'm subject unto my husband in everything." That's what it says. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. And I think I've already been there. Like I told you, we're going to use some of these over and over again. "The aged women likewise," verse 3. Now, you know, the aged women, they were young at one time. They had someone to teach them. Now, for the aged women, it's their job to turn around and teach someone. It's kind of like you were a child one time. You grew up. Now you have children. It's up to you to teach the children. And we got too many parents out here that's still children. They're 50 or 60 years old. They've never taught their children anything. That's why the incarceration rate is so bad. It's bad. You can kill somebody because life has no value to a lot of people. You kill a guy over a set of sneakers or a joint. Happens all the time. Kill somebody for 47 cents. People do it. I think of Hank Jr. when he wrote that song. For $43, my friend lost his life when he went to New York City. Now, whether that's a true statement, but it's a good analogy. For nothing. Life means nothing to, I'd say, the majority of the people. And in turn, they're going to have children, and guess what? It's going to get worse. Nobody taught them, and then it's just passing right on down. And whenever you do stand up to try to teach your children something right, it seems like the world is against you. The federal government wants to come in and put you in jail, take your children away from you if you discipline them. Something's wrong with this world. Goodness gracious alive. I want you to see that this instruction that we've been reading about is not to the husband to issue any kind of orders. You're not a dictator, like I said. You're not a dictator. The instruction of verse 22 was issued to the wife. But see, God's got a certain sequence or order of business, and that's what he's trying to tell us right now. It's an order of business. But if you remember back in 23, let's look at it again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You also have instructions to the husband. Instructions to the husband. Love thy wife as thyself. You know, well, I'm not mentioning it right now. I will today, though. In verse 25, let's read. Let's move on down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The wife, you know, Jesus Christ kept and he keeps, it's an ongoing thing, he keeps the church. He preserved the church. So a husband should keep the wife. He should preserve her. He should guard her and shield her. And above all, provide for her. You have too many men running around now, and I'll use the street language, knocking women up and leaving. They don't want no part of it. I saw somewhere, this one kid had about, and I say that, he was like 20. He had like 15 kids. But you got to have and some of the women knew each other, so you got an active participant on her side. They weren't taught by their mothers. This transcends race, color, creed. It's all of us. There's not one that doeth good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty, maybe to a different extent, but we're all guilty. Let's go, if you would, to Galatians. Nope, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I know we've covered it. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Wow. One flesh. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I bet you didn't know you could jump around so much, did you? She's in chapter 5. Do what? I ain't there already. Verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, how do you follow God? By doing what he's got written in the book. He said, husbands and wives become one. Verse 3. Well, I think I'm just going to continue reading right here. Verse 2. And walk in love as dear children, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. See, Christ loved the church. And this was before the Apostle Paul came on the scene. He gave himself through the foreknowledge of God back here, which should be way out yonder in past eternity. Jesus Christ was there, and he had glory in heaven with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. It was determined that he would go and die for the sins of the world. You see, God foreknew every sin that you would ever commit before you were ever born. He knew every hair on your head, in my case, and Jared and a couple of other guys in here, Tony and Ricky and, you know, Jerry. You still got a little bit. He knew how many hairs we weren't going to have on our head at this age before he knew every sin. You can't hide. You know, Eve, Adam and Eve back in Genesis, they run and tried to hide from God in Genesis chapter 3. You cannot hide from God. You can hide from me. You can hide your sin from me, but you can't hide it from God. But I want you to know something, and this is not a free will to go out there and start sinning. The fact of it is, every sin that's in your mind, I don't care how old you get. I asked my mother when she was about 90, Mama, does it ever get any easier? Do you get to the point where you don't think bad about someone? Or don't? She said, it just gets easier. She said, it never goes away. You always have that lust in your mind, or envy, or pride, or something about you that's not pleasing to God. So Jesus Christ came into this world to die for every sin that's ever been committed, ever will be committed. But it all happened before, because God loved you before you were ever even thought about by your mama and your daddy. In AD 33 quite precedes the birth of anybody in here. Okay? I might be the oldest. I think I am. No, Brother Jerry's the oldest one in here. He just had his 80th birthday. Yes, he did. Still kicking and wanting to play golf. But he knew every sin that brother would do before he ever done it. And he loved him, and he loves us so much that he was willing to send Jesus Christ as a sacrifice, as a sweet-smelling savor into this world to die for each individual. Goodness gracious alive. What a plan, huh? I keep telling you, Stephen King couldn't write nothing this good. It just won't happen. Now, to wit that God was in Christ, he's talking about 2 Corinthians 11:19. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling, bringing us back together, because we were separated in the Garden of Eden, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God didn't impute any trespasses unto you, because he reconciled us back together. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loved us. Now, let's continue on. We got some. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4. The will of God and our Father. Ain't that something? Go to Colossians 3. I'm going to finish this verse up. I mean, this Ephesians portion right here. Colossians 3, and then we'll take a break. Verse 19. What does it say here? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, I've been bitter against Carol. I think we got over it. I hope so.
You don't know?
You don't tell me you ain't been bitter with your wife. You lie. Don't be bitter to your wife. Now, I'm going to take you outside of Romans through Philemon. What's written to us directly to us? It's Romans through Philemon, because we know how to rightly divide the word of truth, not rightly divide the Bible. That's the wrong attitude. The Bible divides itself once you know how to rightly divide the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, out from all the other gospels. It's Paul's gospel. He divided it out. It's by grace you're saved. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let's go to 1 Peter, guys. Peter was a great apostle. He's just not your apostle. He's not my apostle. He's nobody's apostle in the dispensation of the grace of God. 1 Peter 1 somewhere. Let me find it. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 3. Look at verse 1. This is transdispensational as far as what I want to talk about. It applies here as it did to them. And it will in the future after we're out of here. Likewise, ye wives, all of you, that's plural, be in subjecting to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversion of the wife. It's talking about an unbelieving man and an unbelieving husband. If you're a believing woman, let's read it. Likewise, you wives, be in subjecting to your own husband. Now, that, if any obey not the word, in other words, if they do not trust the gospel of the grace of God, I'm going to put that in here, your husband doesn't, that husband may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now let me tell you something. That's not going to get the job done for salvation. Even Paul speaks about that. But at the same time, you're on the right track. Discuss the Bible with him. Tell him the gospel of the grace of God. Tell him how much it means to you. That's what you got to do. You can't force it down somebody's throat that don't want it. But you can lightly, don't force nothing, lightly tell them the gospel of the grace of God. So I sure would, let me show you this in the scripture. If they don't want to see it, we'll just tell them. Say, I would sure like you to be in heaven with me whenever we both pass away. And there's you've got your own style and how you do it. Because the only way, and I know this, you could tell them, the husband, the only way that I know this is, if you trust what Jesus Christ did for you without plusing and minusing anything, it's just the way it is. Leave it that way. Yes?
1 Corinthians 7:13.
That's right. Let me get over there. Hold on to it. Let me finish this and we'll get right to it. It sounds good. It sounds good. Now, I want to go over to verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. This has been going on. Women have been in subjection to their husbands in the past dispensation. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The Bible said she is a weaker vessel. I don't care if she's a fireman. She is a weaker vessel in the eyes of the Lord. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, what did you say, Scott? 1 Corinthians 11?
Chapter 7.
1 Corinthians 7.
13 and 14.
Yes, that's exactly what I was referencing to. Yeah. Okay, 1 Corinthians. Let's see what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Now here's the thing. I asked Brother Moore, because that confused me. I asked Brother Moore about that. He said, if I was a woman or an unbelieving man, I wouldn't bank my salvation on my partner. And you better believe it. Just because you're saved, I'll just say, because Carol is saved, I wouldn't bank my salvation because she's saved on this scripture right here, sanctified.
But what it does is sanctifies my actually
listening
to the gospel and saved.
Yeah.
That's what it's doing.
It's setting you out there apart so you can listen and hopefully be consecrated unto the Lord for the Lord's use and purpose. Because you have a believing spouse, and it works both ways. It works both ways.
But
don't.
Right?
Do what?
You're talking about children as well. Unbelieving children?
Well, it just depends on what age of accountability they are. I mean, and there is no certain age, but they got to know right from wrong, or they can't make the choice.
But there are innocents, right?
They are innocent. They were born guilty, but the Lord's got them covered. Until they can make that determination, and some people. Who are mentally incapable can never make that determination, so the Lord's got them covered. We may hit upon that scripture as I go through. I hit upon it last night that I wanted to use, but I didn't write it down. So, let me see where we're at. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is the last scripture. When it's talking about husbands, love your wives. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you can't forgive your wife or if you can't forgive your husband, there's a problem here, because God forgave you. You're a dirty, rotten sinner deserving of hell. Remember last week we covered, don't let the sun go down on you while you're angry. Get rid of it. Let's take a break, guys. We're going to come back. We'll probably start back on this one, huh?